Today, we want to do the fourth session on the seven thunders. So far, we have three sessions and on the seven thunders. We did one session. Three sessions, yes, all together. Because the first and second service were session two and session three. So we did one on all night. We did a Sunday service on the seven thunders. There were two parts to it. This will be part four of the seven thunders. Because as God reveals more, we will share more on the things that happened, the seven thunders. Plus I have two prophecies for different men of God. That I believe is linked to the seven thunders. I'd like to bring it together. Praise God. So let's go to God in prayer tonight as we consider His Word. Father, we thank You for Your grace, Your mercy upon our lives. Tonight, Father, continue to reveal to us Your plans. Your plans for this planet, Your plans for this earth. We thank You, Father, for all that is being done. And we ask, Lord, Father, that You continue to reveal these things to our heart, to our spirits, so that we can receive all that You want us to receive, all Your impartations, all Your anointings, all that equip us to do Your perfect will, that equip us to establish Your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Guide our hearts and our spirits around You, around Your fatherly nature, around Your love, around Your spirit, around Your word. Tonight, Father, we surrender our lives to You, establish Your word in our midst. Continue to enlighten and open our eyes, especially to each one of us individually. Quicken the angels, strengthen the angels, so that the angels of God assigned to us will quicken into each one of us, those who are here, those who are not here, those who are hearing this word from afar, or hearing this word at a different time. Quicken the angels of God, the individual lives who are called to be a part of this restoration, the part of the revival that takes place even in the midst of the seven thunders, that the angels will whisper into our lives our role, our part, our destiny. They have been predestined before we were born. Reveal that, establish it, Father, in our hearts and our lives. For all that You do, Father, we give You the glory, the worship, and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. We will have the map up again. The map on the world domination picture. Okay. Yes. This is a projector map that I just opened. It should right be there. And we off these two lights. Yeah. And I stand over here so that you can see. Yes, this map. I believe you all should be able to see that map. That's a world map. And if you remember that we say what the seven thunders are. The seven thunders are like seven major events that affect the whole world, the whole planet. And that is in our future, possibly in our near future. The first, as we have determined, is the fall of Babylon, which is something happening in the United States, and which Pastor David saw a serpent move from here, and then it landed here in Spain, and 10 tigers, black tigers with gray stripes, pounce on it, and then the head, as we shared earlier, lands somewhere in India. And then in further looking into the place, it actually says it lands more in the Indian Ocean. Somewhere in the Indian Ocean. And we will explain that afterwards. And then the 20 dogs, they are from this region here. 8 of the serpent's head. And then afterwards, one some more of the serpent that comes here. And then there is some sort of a fight between the 10 tigers and the 20 dogs. And so the first is this serpent got destroyed. The second is the second thunder is how these 20 dogs comes and attacks the head, eats the head and once more of the body. And then there's a fight between the 20 dogs and the 10 tigers. And the 10 tigers killed 2 dogs. The dogs went back. And that finishes. The second thunder is the rise of these 20 dogs. The third thunder is the rise of these 10 tigers, which represent the 10 toes of Daniel. That's the third thunder. The rise of them is so strong that then they, at their peak, somehow they attack Russia. As we mentioned in the different vision with Pastor David had, Germany, France, and England. That's right. Germany, France, and England attack, and then they actually conquer Moscow. Moscow is right at eight somewhere here, and they conquer Moscow, and at the peak they did that, and that would be probably the third time that Russia retreated there and then fought back. I believe one is under Napoleon, one is under the Second World War, Germany, and then this will be the third time that in our recent history. And then in the end, in the third thunder, Russia rises, attacks back. And then somehow it dominates the whole region under Russian influence. And China continues here its influence over all this area. So in that third thunder, the rise of what we call Russia, the King of the North, Rosh, and that would include Gog Magog, which is actually within this region here, of the old maps. And there's Rosh, Gog, and Magog. So all these are put together. That would be the third thunder, the rise of the King of the North. So I repeat again, first thunder, this U.S. falling, second thunder, rise of the kings of the east, the 20 dogs, and then you have the third thunder here, they conquer here, and then in the fourth thunder, at the end of the third thunder, Russia rises, that will be the fourth thunder, and then you will have somewhere when the king of the north rules all this area, and all this map is as it is today, and there's a protection here, that you have the fifth thunder, which is the middle of the tribulation. The fifth thunder is what we call the beginning of the tribulation, where the Antichrist manifests. At some point, the Antichrist manifests. And then you will have the sixth thunder, which should be in the middle of the tribulation, the one that Jesus warned about in Matthew 24, when you see the abomination of desolation. And then the seven will be the coming of Jesus, and that concludes the whole thing in the finale. Today we want to talk about the first and the second thunder. And I mentioned that somewhere by the third thunder that the two fallen angels here would have been released. I would say definitely by the third thunder they would have been released. But I did mention that there's a possibility that even in the first thunder they might have been first released. And so those timings can affect how near we are to these things happening. If they are to be released in the first thunder, then it's further up. If they are to be released in the third thunder, then we are nearer. Because if their release coincides with our ministry 2025 to 2026, then first and second thunder will happen before that. That means we are actually very much nearer than what we thought. But remember, timing estimations are only our interpretation. We apply to it. So today we want to look at the first and the second thunder. And to bring that in the first thunder, we say the fall of the United States here. Fall of the United States. And I'd like to bring two other prophets who were in the United States. And I will consider them U.S. prophets. It will be fivefold prophets. One of them would be Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin Sr., E. Hagin. And he died in 2003. And he's a prophet, also a teacher. And in his book, I Believe in Visions, where he shared about 8 visions that he had of Jesus. In one of them, he was taken up into heaven with a voice, "Come up hither." And just before that, he talked about how the meeting occurred. See, God doesn't show some of these great visions and all that necessarily to a big, huge group of people. In fact, he shared how in this particular vision, where he is under the chapter "Come Up Hither" in his book, I Believe in Visions, by Kenneth E. Hagin, how he normally would have an evangelistic meeting in a small little place in town, somewhere in around August 1950. Because it was raining and cold, not many people came to church that day. Most were Christians. So he says, "Well, since all are Christians, there's no one to evangelize, let's just have a little prayer meeting." So as he knelt down to pray, he was taken in the spirit. Just a few people taken in the spirit. And among those visions that he saw are these things where he says about that time, he was taken to hell and various things that Jesus instructed. But here's the important part I read to you. This is by Kenneth E. Hagin. He received this prophecy in 1950. "About that time, the Holy Spirit came upon me again. It seemed as if a wind were blowing on me. I fell flat on my face on the platform. As I lay under the power of God, it seemed as if I was standing high on a plane somewhere in space, and I could see miles and miles." He says, "I could see miles and miles around me, just as one can stand on the great plains of the United States and gaze into the distance for miles." And that is true. A lot of flat land, when you stand on one of the plains, you could see until as far as your eye could see, all just agriculture, great plains. "I looked in every direction, but I couldn't see a sign of life anywhere. There were no trees." Remember, we're talking about the first thunder. "There were no trees or grass, no flowers or vegetation of any kind. There were no birds or animals. I felt so lonely. I was not conscious of my early surroundings. As I looked to the west, I saw what appeared to be a tiny dot on the horizon. It was the only moving thing I could see. As I watched, it grew larger and came toward me, taking shape and form. Soon I could see it was a horse. As it came closer, I could see a man upon a horse. He was riding toward me at full speed. As he approached, I could see he held the reins of the horse's bridle in his right hand. And in his left hand, held high above his head, he held a scroll." So he would be riding this way. "And as he came towards," Kenneth Hagin says here, "he was riding toward me at full speed. As he approached, I could see he held the reins of the bridle in his right hand and his left hand. High above, we say he held a scroll. When the horseman came to me, he pulled on the reins and stopped. I stood on his right. He passed the scroll from his left hand to his right hand and handed it to me. As I unrolled the scroll, which was a roll of paper 12 or 14 inches long, he said, 'Take and read.' He laid his right hand on me and said, 'Read in the name of Jesus Christ.' I began to read what was written on the paper. And as the words instructed me, I looked and saw what I had just read about." This went through in the spirit. When you read, you see the vision. And so it's both written and video, kind of. "And first I read about thousands upon thousands of men in uniform. Then I looked and saw these men marching, wave after wave of soldiers marching as to war. I looked in the direction they were going, and as far as I could see, there were
thousands of men marching. So,
this is his vision, 1950. A pause there. Many times prophecies have been given, attempts have been given to interpret them. A lot of the interpretations are wrong. But the prophecy stands correct. And some people feel this has taken place in the few wars that has happened from 1950s to right now, 2012, December. I believe it hasn't happened yet. I believe it relates to the first thunder. Let me read on. I turned to read the scroll again and then look and saw what I just read about. I saw many women, old women with snowy white hair, middle-aged women, young women, teenagers. Some of the younger ones held babies in their arms. All of the women were bowed together in sorrow and were weeping profusely. Those who do not carry babies held their hands on their stomach as they bowed down over and wept. Tears flowed from their eyes like water. I looked at the scroll again, and again I looked to see what I had read about. I saw the skyline of a large city. Looking closer, I saw the skyscrapers were burnt-out houses. Portions of the city lay in ruins. It was not written that just one city would be destroyed, burned and in ruins, but that there would be many such cities. The scroll was written in the first person and seemed as if Jesus himself was speaking. I read, America is receiving her last call. Some nations already have received their last call and never will receive another. And pause, I interpret here, some of those nations are in Europe. They have already received their last call. By 1950, it was over. There will be Christians who are praying here and there who have personal revival, but you never again have a national revival. For the United States in 1950, around August, when this prophecy was given, Kenneth Hagin just started his prophetic ministry. But very important prophecy here. Now back to the prophecy. It says, America is receiving her last call. Some nations already have received their last call and never will receive another. Then in large print it said, the time of the end of all things is at hand. That's why I believe it relates to the first thunder prophecy that has to do with the United States. And it says here, he went on to say, all the gifts of the Spirit will be in operation in the church in these last days. And the church will do greater things than even the early church did. From 1950 until 2012 today, that hasn't taken place yet. There are great meetings here and there. I mean, I've been to Kenneth Hagin's convention. I've been also to his school in Rhema, 1981. We joined the convention there also. Been to John Osteen's church. I gone through every teaching of all the men of God who existed from 1950 to 2012. Some of them had miracles here and there. Came to know Benny Hinn, brought him also to Malaysia. And but in all this prophecy is not fulfilled yet. We do see some healings, we do see some miracles. We ourselves do conventions. We have done meetings, we have seen people heal. When I went back to the to New Zealand, where we have a Bible school long ago in Christchurch, where we go at least two or three times a year, and we go to Australia two, three times a year when we were based in Malaysia. And we travel around all the small little churches, sometimes preaching. We have seen some signs and wonders. And recently, when I went back a few years ago, one of them who were touched in the South Island came up to the North Island because I was ministering in Auckland. And he brought a young man in his teenage. And that young man was a deaf and dumb boy who could not speak. and he was a baby. But that many years have gone by. He's now a young man, he still can speak and talk. And he said, please pray for this young man and dedicate him to the Lord. And we bless him. So the miracles lasted. So we have seen signs and wonders and here and there. Then in Thailand, one of our associates, when we sent for, a door was open for me. I said, look, I got too many things on. So I sent one of my associates there. And he continued ministry, and there were reports of miracles too. Especially one blind person, completely blind, was healed. And that started a revival. The one person quickly gave them a piece of land, and he based his ministry there for many years. So we have seen signs and wonders, but nothing has beaten the book of Acts. So this prophecy hasn't come to place yet, and it will come to pass after this second and third phase. This prophecy still holds true, and it still speaks about this coming revival. Now let me go on to read this prophecy. He went on to say, all the gifts of the Spirit will be in operation in the church in these last days, and the church will do greater things than even the early church did. It will have greater power, and signs and wonders than were recorded in the Acts of the Apostles. He said, so he continued, said, about all these things are coming to pass, and great signs and wonders in the last days. Now, as usual, Hagin tried to interpret about his time, because by the time he wrote this thing, it will be about 10, 20 years later when he wrote about this in his book, because he got, this was about second vision, he had a vision. And so in retrospective, when he wrote, he records some places where miracles, signs and wonders. But you can analyze everything that happened, every revival meeting and all the revivals that happened from 1950 to 2012. We haven't seen that yet. And in some meetings, they would felt the presence of God, but nothing like the book of Acts. Remember in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 5 alone beat us. Shadow healing. We haven't seen that in our modern church yet. Peter walked by, people healed. No need even prayer. He just walked. And people were healed by the shadow. And not only that, it says in Acts 5, everyone was healed. Show me any meeting where every single sick person was healed. Not a single one did not receive the healing. You don't have that in our modern meeting. Not even in Catherine Kuhlman's meeting. And so we realize that prophecy hasn't come to pass yet. And here's the thing. Hagin was a prophet chosen to receive this scroll. In his time in the 1950s, there were many prophets, but he was the prophet chosen to deliver this prophecy. When a prophet is chosen to deliver the prophecy, their life also becomes a prophecy. Kenneth Hagin died or went to be with the Lord in 2003. And you know what happened in 2003? In that same year, the beginning of the year, Hagin went to be with the Lord in September 2003, 19, I think. At the age of 86 years old. In the year 2003, America attacked Iraq and marched in against Saddam Hussein. Iraq represents Babylon. And I did mention somewhere in my blogs way back that is that every empire has always concluded at Babylon. And that was the conclusion. So from the time of 2003, the judgments that God predicted has started in the spirit. It takes some time to fall. But don't despair, those of you in the United States. There's a revival that is seen here that was spread. And so God still has that coming up for those of you who live in the United States. And so there is some sort of revival, as we mentioned, that is yet to come. But we need to acknowledge that every nation has its time and place in the sun, and every nation has its day of judgment. But this is from the prophecy of Kenneth E. Hagin. So from 2003, America, the day that Kenneth Hagin died, symbolically, when he was called home to be with the Lord, that is the day when that message ended. That's the day when the last call finish, and time for judgment has begun in that nation. Doesn't mean those in the nation who are in the Lord, who love God, are not protected. You will be. Remember to listen to the Lord and be where you are. Around the same time as Kenneth Hagin, there was another prophet. His name is Dumitru Duduman. D-U-M-I-T-R-U, his first name. Second name, very funny, Duduman. And I guess it's Duduman to fight against the Voodoo Man, right? And so he's the Duduman. And September 1984, he's a Romanian, and he moved to the United States. He moved there because the Lord told him to. He didn't really want to go there. And these are some of his prophecies. Now, you will find on the internet, because his prophecies are so precise, even more precise than Kenneth E. Hagin, a lot of people, you find people acknowledge his prophecy, and some people don't acknowledge. And those that don't acknowledge is because both him and his son, Duduman, passed away in 1997. I believe around May. And because he and his son tried to interpret the prophecy before his time. And they keep giving dates, like this will happen in 1995, 96, 98, 99, all these things, and he never came to pass. And so as a result, the prophecy got into disrepute. And people don't believe the prophecy anymore. But if you actually take the original prophecy, as I always say, Whenever there's a thus says the Lord, and it's really God, it is really the word of the Lord. But it's our interpretation of it that sometimes is inaccurate. And how we interpret the prophecy is very important. And so when we interpret and start putting dates on it, and the dates doesn't come to pass, of course it becomes disreputable. People don't believe anymore. So that's what happened to people who don't believe his prophecies anymore. But if they hear his prophecies and don't try to interpret and let the time come when it comes to pass, they will realize that his prophecy is to do with the first thunder. What was his prophecy like? Well, in September 1984, he received this. And he is another person who I recognize as a prophet. There are not many people I recognize as a full prophet. But these are the two before I met this man here. And before Pastor David show up on the scene. And people have said, you know, I want to know what a real prophet is like. And many people who claim to be prophets, all they have is a gift of prophecy. They're not really prophets. And his son has a gift of prophecy, but not prophet. And they function at two different levels. And so here is Dumitru Duduman. In September 1984, he says, late one night I could not sleep, and that was the day. I went outside and walked around saying, God, why did you punish me? Why did you bring me into this country? Talking about America. Because he was suffering a lot. Suddenly, a bright light came toward me. I jumped to my feet because it looked as if a car was coming directly at me. The headlight, right? All you need is just a horn. Pop, pop, pop. That would be nice, but engines don't sound horns. And so a bright light came toward him. I jumped to my feet because it looked as if a car was coming directly at me, attempting to run me down. As the light approached, it surrounded me. From the light, I heard the same voice that I heard so many times in prison. He really has a very hard life. He's been in prison in Romania and all those things. He said, Dumitru, why are you so despair? I said, why did you punish me? Why did you bring me to this country? I have nowhere to lay my head down. I can't understand anybody because he don't speak English very well. Why did you bring me here to burn? Why didn't you let me die in my own country? You should let me die in jail in Romania. Wow, he really a different kind of prophet, this guy. Then the voice said, Dumitru, didn't I tell you I am here with you also? I brought you to this country because this country will burn. This was not a dream or vision. I was awake just as I am now. Dimitri Road. He showed me all of California and said, this is Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, this is 1984. All of this in one day, it will burn. Its sin has reached the Holy One. Then he took me to Las Vegas. This is Sodom and Gomorrah. In one day, it will burn. Then he showed me all of Florida. This is Florida, he said. This is Sodom and Gomorrah. In one day, it will burn. Wow, this real prophet. Then he showed me the state of New York. He said, this is New York. This is Sodom and Gomorrah. In one day, it will burn. Wow, this 1984 prophecy. Then he took me back home to the rock where we had begun. All of this I have shown you. In one day, it will burn. This country will burn. Oh, this is a prophet. The Lord said, I want to save the church. But the churches have forsaken me. Dudu Man said, how did they forsake you? He said, the people praise themselves. The honor that the people are supposed to give to Jesus Christ, they take upon themselves. In the churches, there are divorces. There's adultery in the churches. There are homosexuals in the churches. There's abortion in the churches. And all other sins that are possible. Because of the sin, I have left some of the churches. You must yell in a loud voice that they must put an end to their sinning. They must turn toward the Lord and live a clean life. I said, that's Dimitri. How will America burn? America is the most powerful country in this world. Why did you bring us here to burn? Why didn't you at least let us all die where all the doo-doo men have died? Well, this doo-doo man really. He said, remember this, do me true. The Russian spies have discovered where the nuclear warehouses are in America. When the Americans will think that it is peace and safety, from the middle of the country, some of the people will start fighting against the government. The government will be busy with internal problems. Then from the ocean, from Cuba, Nicaragua, Mexico. He told me two other countries, but I don't remember what they were. They will bomb the nuclear warehouses. When they explode, America will burn. I asked, what will you do with the church of the Lord? How will you save the ones that will turn toward you? He said, tell them this. How I saved the three young ones from the furnace of fire. How I saved Daniel in the lion's den is the same way I will save them. I have blessed this country because of the Jewish people who are in this country. I have 7 million Jews in this country. But they do not want to recognize the Lord. They didn't want to thank God for the blessing they receive in this country. Israel doesn't want to recognize Jesus Christ. They put their faith in the Jewish people in America. But when America burns, the Lord will raise China, Japan, and other nations to go against the Russians. They will beat the Russians and push them all the way to the gates of Paris. Over there, they will make a treaty and appoint the Russians as their leaders. They will then unite against Israel. When Israel realizes she does not have the strength of America behind her, she will be frightened. That's when she will turn to the Messiah for deliverance. That's when the Messiah will come. Then the church will meet Jesus in the air. And he will bring them back with him to the Mount of Olives. At that time, the battle of Armageddon will be fought. I pause there on this prophecy. Some of these statements cover parts, just in one sentence or half a sentence, of some of these other parts of the seven thunders. He had a little glimpse. Back to this prophecy. I said, Dimitri says, if you are truly the angel of the Lord, and everything you have told me is true, then all you have said must be written in the Bible. He said, tell everyone to read from Jeremiah 51 verse 8 to 15. And there's a prophecy about judgment and mystery Babylon. Revelation chapter 18. Now, you know what chapter 18 was? Mystery Babylon. Which we have interpreted, referred to here. how in 1 hour it will fall. And then the 10 kings or 10 horns will be looking as that happened. And Zechariah chapter 14, where Christ fights against those who possess the earth. After his victory, there will be one flock and one shepherd. There will be no need for light. The Lamb of God will be the light. There will be no sickness, no tears, no death. There will only be eternal joy, and God will be the ruler. There will be only one language, only one song, and no need for a translator. As a sign that I have spoken to you, tomorrow before you wake up, it's 1984 September, tomorrow before you wake up, I will send someone to bring you a bed, and at noon I will send you a car and a bucket of honey. After which I will send someone to pay your rent. Then the angel left. The next day, someone brought Dumitru a bed. At noon, a car arrived with a bucket of honey. His rent was paid. He's got promise. Strange prophet, isn't it? But powerful prophecy. His prophecy is about the first thunder. Hasn't happened yet. On his website, I see all the people who are part of the ministry try to interpret some parts of it already happened. It hasn't happened. It all refer in line with Pastor David's prophecy, the seven thunders have been released. It all refer to the first thunder only. Because they're in America as prophets to America, they receive the first thunder. There might be prophets, as we know, in Australia who see the great upline of the Holy Spirit, Smith Wigglesworth. From England, he came all the way there and he saw what happened. There may be prophets that God raised in the church in China who might see what happens in China. There may be prophets whom God raised in Russia who might see what happens in Russia, because they have that short area to fulfill their ministry. So God showed them some details. It's very rare that you have an overall view of the whole world. And we have the overall view because they're supposed to build altars on all these red spots here. So there's a reason why we're given the overall view. Because our ministries together are supposed to raise up the fivefold ministries throughout the whole world. So you need the fuller picture. But I have identified this prophecy of Dumitri fulfill the first thunder. That is that. In April 22nd, 1996, and this is 1 year before he died. He died in May 1997. Went home to be with the Lord. This was a prophecy he got 1 year before he went home to be with the Lord in 1997. And he says, I was still awake when suddenly I heard a trumpet sound in my vision. I was in America. I saw three men dressed alike. Two of the men carried weapons. One of the armed men came to me. I woke you to show you what is to come. He said, come with me. I did not know where I was being taken. But when we reached a certain place, he said, stop here. A pair of binoculars was handed to me. And as I stole to look through them, stand there, don't move, look. So like, don't move, look. You will see what they are saying and what they are preparing for America. So in the spirit, he was given a pair of binoculars. I saw a great light. A dark cloud appeared over it. I saw the president of Russia and a short, chubby man who said he was the president of China. And two others. And this one hasn't come to pass yet. Now, don't go around looking for short, chubby men. The last two also said where they came from. But I did not understand. Probably they understand language. But I gathered they were part of Russian-controlled territory. The Russian president began to speak to the Chinese one. I will give you the land with all the people, but you must free Taiwan of the Americans. Do not fear, we will attack them from behind. Isn't it similar to the vision which you saw, that China and Russia meeting, and they were parceling out the whole world? He saw something like that. You were not aware of this. Yeah. And it says, a voice said to me, watch where the Russians penetrate America. I saw these words being written. Alaska, Minnesota,
Florida.
When America goes to war with China, the Russians will strike without warning. The other two presidents spoke, "We too will fight for you." Talking about the Russians. Each had a place already planned as a point of attack. All of them shook hands and hugged. Then they all signed a contract. One of them said, "We're sure that Korea and Cuba will be on our side too. Without a doubt, together we can destroy America." The president of Russia began to speak insistently. "Why let ourselves be led by the Americans? Why not rule the world ourselves? That to be kicked out of Europe too. Then I could do as I please in Europe." The man standing beside me asked, "This is what you saw. They act as friends and say they respect the treaties made together. But everything I've shown you is how it will really happen. You must tell them what is being planned against America. Then when it comes to pass, the people will remember the words the Lord has spoken." Dmitry asked, "Who are you?" I asked. "I am the protector of America." This must be the angel over America. "I'm the protector of America. America's sin has reached God. He will allow this destruction, for he can no longer stand such wickedness. God, however, still has people that worship him with a clean heart, that do his work. He has prepared a heavenly army to save these people. As I look, a great army, well armed, dressed in white, appeared before me." The man said, "Do you see that? This army will go to battle to save my chosen ones. Then the difference between the godly and the ungodly will be evident." That was the second prophecy in 1996, 1 year before he died. He saw up to the fourth thunder. He couldn't classify which is which. And that is some of the vision. And when I look at this army, I'm sure, you know, now that this knowledge is passed on to you, Sharma is going to talk to you. But he would have something to do with that too. And but we have brought all this together because my role is interpreter and putting things together. The first thunder has already been announced. Not just by one man, but by two other prophets. By the word of two or three witnesses, it is established on earth. And the one key prophet who held the scroll has gone home to be a Lord in 2003. It begins the end for here. But in the end, as we know, in Revelation chapter 18, which is also confirmed now by the other prophecy, of Dmitry, that Revelation 18 is about the United States. Although chapter 17 is put it as the end of all the empires, chapter 18 particularly, tells us about the fall of Babylon the Great. And as you see the fall of Babylon the Great in Revelation chapter 18, we see here how in verse 9 the kings of the earth have been rich through her. And then in verse 17, in 1 hour such great riches came to nothing. And the word "in 1 hour" might not necessarily be in a physical 24 hour. If in the Bible there is a week represents 7 years, and then you divide it up to what an hour represents, you can find that an hour could represent, and a week, and you extend it to another, you know, 70 weeks of years, then you realize that it could represent between a few weeks to at least a couple of months in one prophetic hour. So within months, the thing can suddenly happen. And so what we saw, it's something suddenly happened here. And it says here, in line with these things that are happening, in chapter 18, in verse 17, "For in 1 hour, Such great riches came to nothing. Every shipmaster, all who traveled by the ship, sailors, and as many as strayed on the sea stood at a distance and cried out when they saw the smoke of a burning, saying, "What is like this great city?" They threw dust in their heads, cried out, weeping, wailing, saying, "Alas, alas, that great city in which all who had ships on the sea became rich by her wealth, for in 1 hour she is made desolate." In 1 hour, she is made desolate. Now let's look at chapter 17 of Revelation, verse 15 and 16. Then he said to me, "The waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. All the 10 horns which you saw on the beast, these will hate the harlot, make her desolate, naked, eat her flesh, burn her with fire. For God has put it into their hearts to fulfill his purpose, to be of one mind to give the kingdom to the beast, until the words of God are fulfilled. The woman whom you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth." So you can see that the 10 horns and the woman are different. Because the 10 horns are here. The woman is here. In a prophecy type. So the first thunder is going to be interesting in how this destruction happened. There are some details given here and there, but very hard to place exactly those events. But one thing we see, that as the serpent moves towards here in Spain, the head apparently, in detail when we met and we debriefed, the head actually ends somewhere in the Indian Ocean. Is the ocean. And then Pastor David was given another vision, more details. He saw, instead of 20 dogs, 20 ships. And I asked for details of the ship. It was a convoy of 20 ships. 20 ships, two of them, I will call that aircraft carrier because they were planes. I asked detailed questions. And the others are destroyers and warships accompanying the two aircraft carriers. As you know, China does not have an aircraft carrier yet. They have one that they have refurbished, bought old one from the Russians. And so apparently, these 20 warships, if we interpret the warships literally. See, I always put the condition there so you know where the interpretation is going. Because remember, sometimes things are allegorical and then we all weigh out. But if the interpretation is a literal vision, then there will be a naval war, like one we have never seen before. And if the 20 docks are now represented in the 20 ships, two of them aircraft carrier, the rest destroyers and warships. Here is what Pastor David saw in a different vision, which again brings light. We will preach as we go along and things are revealed on the seven thunders. But we know more a little bit about the first thunder with these other two prophecies. And we know how even in the first thunder, how Russia and China is playing a role in the demise here. And how this, in the book of Revelation chapter 17, these 10 tigers or 10 horns also play a role in the destruction. And you look at what happened. When the serpent landed here, the 10 tigers pounce on it. It's the pouncing of the 10 tigers that broke the serpent's head from its body. And so we would say, if it happened in chronological order, that something between the United States and this sector of the 10 tigers or 10 horns. And as we have mentioned, we could identify 7 countries there. From all the mentioned. We have mentioned United Kingdom, Germany, France, definitely part of it. And we have mentioned Italy because the spider that I mentioned earlier landed in Italy. We have mentioned Spain because the landing is in Spain. And that makes 5. And Then we have mentioned, where was that? Greece, because Greece was also mentioned in one prophecy. So that makes six. And we mentioned Turkey because it is also part of that sector there. So we have found seven of the ten toes. We don't know what the other three yet. We will know as we go along. Because don't forget, we're going to build altar here and here. And this is progressive revelation. By the time we are now building altars down here. Okay, can we move a little bit to that one down there? Oops, there's nobody there. And we're building altars in Australia, New Zealand. And then after that, we'll build in Seoul, Korea. And then we'll build Singapore, Malaysia. We're building in Australia and New Zealand. Then we will be building in Korea and China. So this is Australia and New Zealand is down here. So we are building these two altars here. Then that completes this second phase. And we will have the other phase where you go to Greece and we're going to go to Greece and United Kingdom. We go to Toronto first, and New York. And then after that, we're going to South America. And then after that, we're going to here, and then here, and finish off the whole thing. So as we go to each place, God might reveal more things of the seven thunders that we cannot see clearly. But what I say tonight, and tonight we're looking at the first and the second thunder. And we know the first thunder, prophets have already risen. Two of them who have given that message have gone home to be with the Lord. And you trace that at their home going, perhaps something happened. I didn't look at 1997, but I looked at 2003, the same year that Hagin was taken away, was a significant event here in America. That is when America committed to the Iraqi war. And things started changing from there. So billions of dollars there. And so we will know more on all those areas. But what was revealed again in a subsequent vision was Pastor David saw warships. He saw when the ten toes pounced on the serpent, while the serpent was in Spain, and the head came all the way to the Indian Ocean. This Indian Ocean covers all these parts, somewhere here. And there were 20 warships, two aircraft carrier among them, and they move, and they came to this area, lower here, came lower here, and they came to this area, and as they came to this area, then afterward, they started moving. Pastor David saw in the vision, the 20 warships from here, after they come here, they attack. Why was that? It could be the head that fell here. It could predict. Now this, when I say it could, it's not part of the prophecy. It's interpretation. Interpretation is subject to correction. Interpretation can be wrong. Remember that. But the prophecy remains as it is. The vision remains as it is. But if it is a literal interpretation, it could speak of a naval battle. That somehow, an important battle which determined the head ship of America that happens here. So something happened here. Is here got pounds? Here is a land battle. Here it landed, pounds on the serpent. Here the head is here in the ocean, and it got attacked by the 20 warships. It lost. The 20 warships continue. And as the 20 warships move past here, as it passed the Cape here of Africa, as it passed here, Africa started to burn. As you know, all these countries in Africa will in the end become just eight countries. And countries like South Africa, which is tiny bit here, become this huge. So all these countries will fight until it becomes eight countries. So somewhere in our near future is an important naval war, and somewhere is some dispute between here, America and Europe. And then weaken it here, and then part of the head is here. It got attacked here. And as the 20 washes pass here, all these catch fire. It could represent that second thunder. Remember what the second thunder is. The first thunder is the head goes, shkoom, the body remains. That's the demise of America. Which we know from the other two prophets, especially from Dumitru, that in the background, there's Russian influence still. There's a lot of background. Plus, you know, some internal thing is going to happen. And that is outside the natural disaster. We're just talking about countries. And we did say about all the whole world map is different because the water level rise. And how the two fallen angels here, when the earth temperature rise another 3 degrees, that's about the time that they're released. So we know the world will be a different world, even physically. But here, just talking about the political situation, that as they pass here, that all this caught fire, most likely this whatever war here spread to here. And as they move to here, the 20 warships, and it seems to be on the way to here, to America. But as it comes somewhere here to the North Atlantic Ocean, these 10 tigers attack it. So that will mean that if it's a literal interpretation, there was one huge naval battle here. There's a second naval battle here. War in the sea. Isn't it interesting that in Revelation chapter 18, it includes sea people, seamen, weeping and crying. Not just land, but in the sea. It tells us here that those in the oceans and in the sea, the sailors, in verse 17, all who travel by ship, sailors, as many as trade on the sea, stood at the distance. It talks about the sea and the land in chapter 18. So, there is another major battle, and it is here. Remember, 20 dogs, 2 died. And so I asked specifically, I said, what was destroyed here? Apparently, one of the aircraft carrier got destroyed, and probably one of the warships or destroyer. And then they quickly go back to here. And that is when the second thunder. See, the second thunder affects everything. Second thunder is a rise of the kings of the east. Not like Revelations yet to attack here, but the rise of the kings of the east. So at the demise, see, one event followed the other. The demise of Mystery Babylon rises. There can be only one. Only one can exist as a more powerful. If there are two, one has to be subordinate. So with the fall of a great power, another great power will come up. And for the moment, it looks like Asia, China, rise. And imagine the conflict raising here. Now, something about Australia. At the time when the naval battle is coming here, as it comes to eat the head that fell off here of the serpent, that somehow, over on this side, all the angels that are here protecting, there are two angels over there, of course, God might supply more during the time of need. They rise up in the greatest activity, and the whole place is surrounded and protected. And also something else that Pastor David received recently, that for some reason, this region seems to be protected by being on friendly terms with China. Some sort of favor kind of thing. So they said, you know, okay, you know, you're okay, we're okay kind of thing, probably. And it also would link to us building an altar there. And the olive trees and all those things. So olive tree represents some sort of revival that is there too. And so we do not know how the impact of that revival will touch individuals who might exercise great power. And so all these are future events that may affect, we're changing the future, we're affecting the future. And so it links that as the naval ships come here to eat of the serpent's head here, that all this rise to fullness. And as you see, that by the third thunder, this for a moment, because this one, at first, Asia will have its, then its highest point. The sun rises over it, and then it will be, it wins here, and it looks like it's going to win here, but suddenly the ten tigers win. Because the ten tigers will somehow attack it here, and perhaps have dominion over here too. Now we know that these ten tigers will be supported by the background here. We don't know at which point the ten tigers and the other little horn attack each other. But here is where we look at the book of Daniel to explore. In the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 7. Verse 23, this is the Roman Empire. The fourth beast, Daniel chapter 7, verse 23. The fourth beast, which is Roman Empire at the time, shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all other kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, trample it and break it in pieces. And since the Roman Empire, until today, we have not have the ten horns yet. But here, the ten horns exist in verse 24. The ten horns are ten kings, who shall arise from this kingdom. So they will arise from the region of the Roman Empire. We have identified seven of the ten horns. And in seven of these ten horns, three more for us to identify. But these are the ten horns, the ten kings, who shall arise from this kingdom. This kingdom is the Roman Empire. And another, he said, who shall arise from this, and another shall arise. Can you see the word after them? Know the word after? After means that the fourth thunder, which is the rise of the other horn, will come later. So it might be a short break. Doesn't mean all the seven thunders are exactly equal in chronological space-time. But one, some might be shorter than the other. Who knows, the ten tigers might be a short break. Just as even the rise of the kings of the east very powerfully, might be a certain period of time also. But we see that it affects all these areas. And even though Pastor David might see in a vision how the naval battle from here, then move to here, it might not necessarily mean the whole thing complete in the normal journey of the sea. It's a vision. And so who knows, there could be a pause between here and this battle. If there's a pause, then there's a vying for power for the moment. But we see here that after eating the head of the serpent, it wants more. So it's heading in this direction and seems to be coming this way. Pastor David said, it was not coming here, it was coming to this direction, to America. So apparently, in the second thunder, it's trying to conquer this place here. Now what about that prophecy there by Dmitri? It seems that Russia and China are involved in conquering here. In the background. So the key player, and this I consider the little horn, is all the time in the background. It's in the background in First Thunder. It's in the background in the Second Thunder, because it influenced here to attack when the 20 warships are here. And it's the background in the Third Thunder when the ten horns rise. And finally, it exposes itself in the Fourth Thunder when it rises and conquers three of these countries. And incidentally, we know which three countries will be conquered. The three that conquer it. And because the three will lead the other seven. So at some point, these two will quarrel. And as you know, history has shown that some countries are foes but become friends. Some countries are friends become foes. History has shown a lot of that. So even though they might be helping each other, at some point disagreements might come. And even how the extent of the rule of China, you can see, cover Japan, Korea, all this area. And indeed, Korea has been praying for them to be united. And they're always, South and North Korea, have always been praying, the Christians in South Korea. The biggest church in the world, Chul Yonggi, he changed his name from Paul Yonggi Cho to David Yonggi Cho. And if you ask him why he changed his name, it's because he believed that that was required of him to pay that price in order to unite the two Koreas. You know, God will answer that prayer. But surprisingly, the answer will come in a different way. They think that if South Korea finally win over North Korea, it might be the other way around. Because of China, the North comes down. And yes, it is united, but not like what you want. It's united through China. So the whole thing becomes here. Remember, by the time this becomes somewhere in the fourth thunder, the whole world might be look different. Countries here, the flood and all those things might have eaten up some islands and countries. And there will be people who are countryless. And that's when a lot of these changes are there. But third thunder, as we say, in the second thunder, this eats up here, tries to come here. And then the rise of the ten horns, as we see, that the rise of the little horn only comes after the ten horns rise. However long the ten horns arise. Let's hold our place in the book of Daniel and look at the book of Revelation chapter 17. Revelation chapter 17. In verse 12. The ten horns which you saw are ten kings who have received no kingdom as yet. Of course, in the time of John, they have not received, they don't exist yet. But they receive for 1 hour as kings with the beast. When you say kings with the beast means it's 10 plus 1. It didn't say there are king, 10 horns, 10 kings, and the beast was one of them. It said the 10 horns receive power with the beast. So apparently the beast is still influencing in some manner. And we have noted that the two fallen angels restricted up here. One, when it's released, when the earth is about 3 degrees warmer, will go to Turkey. The other will go to Saudi Arabia. How that keeps arising until these fallen angels are here, we see that the horn would most likely be the king of the north ruling. And that, in a sense, Russia is still king of the far north. That somehow the Antichrist would be ruling through here. And this became one of the most prosperous regions. Like, all trade comes through here. Do you realize that for the past 100 years, all trade goes through here? Every country that has been rich has a trade here. Your own country needed to trade here. It's slowly in the 21st century that we say, okay, trade here. But even here became prosperous because of trade here. So every country in the world wants to trade here. Buying and selling. We even use their money as an international currency. But during the demise of this, when the country is no more, money might be gone. At some point, during the fourth thunder, as a little toe, the little horn becomes the fourth thunder when it rises, at some point, it will declare the mark of the beast. That's when the tribulation starts. And I don't know at which point, Then we realize money is no more. And we will have more details on that. But for today, we focus on the new revelations that came on the naval battle that took place. And we point that to the second thunder. We have taken two prophecies there to show some things that are happening here. Now, what of these prophecies here that are given to Dmitri? Pastor David saw in America droughts, dry land, dryness. Kenneth Hagin saw dryness also, such that no life exists. And the only time you see all life wipe out is sometimes a nuclear explosion. Dmitri seems to imply that there's great destruction happening here, possibly of a nuclear nature. But I mentioned the word possibly because that's interpreting the prophecy. Kenneth Hagin talked about cities that are completely wiped out. And he said he saw one city, but in the scroll he read, it seems to imply many cities. So what Pastor David saw, natural occurrence, Hagin saw war. Soldiers, as far as the eye could see, marching. Women crying because many young men died. Even with all the wars that America has fought, they haven't mobilized the entire country. They only mobilized their army. It's when the whole country is mobilized and in the war mode, then you might see that amount of warfare. So apparently, what Hagin saw could point to something in our near future where the world is getting more and more unstable. You see, stability can only be there when there is only one. But when the one becomes weak, we live in a world. Actually, you look at human history. Human history is filled with war. We can only have peace after war. We don't have peace by negotiations. Right? You have peace after war. The great American country became great when they fought against the colonial powers and England. After they won against England, they themselves had to fight a civil war before they became a great nation. It seems that the curse that is upon the human race and the curse of our imperfection causes that we must fight before we have peace. We must fight until somebody die, fight until somebody lose, fight until everybody cannot fight anymore. Then you say, okay, peace. That's human nature. And our history, our horrible human history has proven that we, in the core of our civilization, in the core within us, we're all barbaric. We are civilized outside, but it comes to war, we are as barbaric as ever. And there is no peace without war in our human history. So when this nation grows weak, there can only be one. This will rise. In the second thunder, this becomes powerful. Because it kills the head. The head. The one who kills the head becomes the more powerful one. For a moment of time, in the second thunder, China becomes the superpower. We do not know how long. In the United States, it's about 200 odd years. And then the United States became a great power for about 100 odd years, possibly. And England before was very powerful. Then you saw the changeover after the Second World War. And this will be a great power, the second thunder, conquering, and it points to, this is why we give you ahead some things. Watch the development of naval forces. China does not have an aircraft carrier yet. The only countries that have aircraft carrier, Russia, America. Because aircraft carrier need great technology. To be able to land a plane on a huge ship is another technological level. But they have already got one second-hand one for Russia. So we do not know what else comes up from there. But the 20 docks didn't represent 20 sections here. 20 docks. Pastor David saw 20 warships, two of them aircraft carrier. Here and here were great battles. But yet, it can never reach here. But in the prophecy of Dmitri, he saw something that possibly reached into the second thunder. Because he saw the fall of America, and then he saw Europe being conquered. And it tells us here in Conquest, after he saw the burning of America. Now for Dmitri, he saw the country burn. It was from all sides. For him, his vision looks like a horrible war that took place, or destruction. He even says, from the middle of the country, some people will start fighting against the government. The government is so busy with its own people. Now, the first time we all hear of shooting in malls, it was a shock to everybody. Now, it looks like it's getting common. Cinema, malls. It looks like because everyone is allowed guns, it's becoming more and more violent. I remember during the destruction of Katrina, people were reduced to protecting themselves by guns. So it's a different place there altogether. And you see when Japan has a tsunami, nobody took guns to protect their property. It's a different culture. They help each other. But here in Katrina, the destruction, people take guns. Get off my property! You don't find that in Japan. Different culture, different society. And it says, from the ocean, from Cuba, from Nicaragua, from Mexico, told me, and two other countries which you don't remember. But later on, he has a vision of two countries, Russia and China, which play a major role in this Seven Thunders prophecy. And he says, these began to affect. And here is where he says, in one part he says, when America burns, the Lord will raise up China, Japan, and other nations to go against the Russian. So the struggle of two powers, that the only two powers in it, these 10 horns or 10 tigers, only last a short time. Even now, most of they don't have much resources here. Most of the energy supplied by this person here. There's a pipeline that goes from here or from the Middle East. They're dependent on other places for resources. The country which has resources, that can be very self-sufficient. And so, all the time, in the first thunder, in the second thunder, in the third thunder, in the fourth thunder, is always between Russia and China. Until in the fourth thunder, it is established, okay, you are here, I'm here. But I'll be the main one, you play second fiddle. But all the time, according to Dmitri's prophecy, the destruction here is a plotting between here and here. So from the fourth thunder, they're already affecting the first thunder. And the only thing we don't know is whether these two fallen angels are released to cause the first thunder. That is one thing we don't know yet. But definitely we say, by the third thunder, it will happen. So we realize here that it says, when America burns, and even in the fall of Babylon, this is involved, the ten horns are involved because it's the ten horns that pounds on the serpent. But the ten horns are influenced by the little horn. Remember Revelation I read to you. The ten horns rise with the beast. Who is the beast? Because the beast in chapter 17 looks like the Antichrist. It says they are one mind. They give their power and their authority to the beast. But is the beast referring to the scarlet woman that sits on the scarlet beast? Or is the beast referring to the two beasts in chapter 13? One of which is a false prophet, one of which is the Antichrist. So there are all these beasts here, beasts there, beasts all over. Which beast? It says here, in verse 13, chapter 17, they have one mind, they will give their power, authority to the beast. These are the things we discover. That these ten horns, which represent the third thunder, can never have power by themselves. They will be dependent on the beast. And whether the beast represent, remember this woman sitting on the beast. Okay, look very carefully now at chapter 17. There is a woman sitting on the beast. It is the woman who is Mystery Babylon. You can see that? On her forehead, in verse 5, Mystery Babylon. But there's a beast that she's sitting on. And look at the description. It says here, the scarlet beast in verse 3, there's a woman sitting on scarlet beast, which have four names, having seven heads and ten horns. It is the beast that has seven heads, ten horns. Confirm it was seven. The angel said to me, why do you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has seven heads, ten horns. So who is this colored beast? It is not the same beast as in chapter 13. But in the end, all the beasts match. Because it says of the beast here, it describes the beast. See, remember, we don't know who the beast is. Then the angel also know that we have a problem. So long ago, he told in verse 8, he described the beast. See, he know that we will ask this question. Who's the beast? Where is the beast? What is the beast? And he know that we will have read chapter 13. And we know there are two beasts. There's one that come from the land, one come from the sea. One represents the false prophet, one represents the Antichrist. And in verse 8, this beast is different. The beast that you saw was and is not and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. Those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. When they see the beast that was and is and yet is, wow, this beast is different. The beast that was and is and yet to come. So who is this scarlet beast? The scarlet beast represents whoever has a title of being number one. There can only be one. So whichever one, which one, they are part of the beast. For the world has been ruled by beasts until the kingdom of God come finally. And so it tells us in verse 10 about the seven heads. There are seven kings. Five have fallen, one is, the other has not yet come. And we have already mentioned about all the kingdoms that have dominated Israel. From Egypt, from Assyria, and then you have the Babylonian Empire, and then you have the Middle Persian Empire, the Greek Empire, five empires. Sixth empire, which is the Roman Empire. So the beast represent all empires. One is the Roman Empire, one is not yet. Now, the one that is not yet is number 7 and also number 8. Look at verse 11. The beast that was and is not is himself also the 8 and is of the 7. Is of the 7. That means the beast was number 1 twice. Can you see that? Number 1 twice. Is number 1 as the 7 empire. You know, not many empires are given this title. None of our modern history great empires, England, or Portugal, or Spain, or these great countries, or America, is in a sense that. But America is more, and the modern nations are more in a woman sitting on the beast. But these other conquest empires, there was none. There was no, America is not the seventh empire. Because the seventh has not yet come. Not even in our time. Instead, America is represented by this woman. There's all the benefits of all this. Mystery Babylon. So the woman, as we know, represents this great nation, but unfortunately went astray to the Lord. Again, I like to say we are thankful for America, we're thankful for all the missionaries, we're thankful for Christianity, we're thankful for England and America, were great fortresses of Christianity. And because of them, Asia has the gospel. And we are deeply grateful for all the theologians, the missionaries, the great churches that have come and gone, great mighty men of God that had their time in the sun. And unfortunately, it's no more. Christianity is no more. Number one. And even the church itself has failed and compromised. And so there is no number 7. Do you notice that? No number 7. Number 7 is in the third thunder. Because the beast is not going to be here. The beast is going to somehow be together with the 10 horns. Remember? The beast and the 10 horns rise. These 10 can only be strong because of the support of this. So for a time, in the third thunder, the king of the north and the 10 horns are one. But the 10 horns rule. And so the beast is somewhere inside there also. Which is why I mentioned. How can they be inside and yet here? Easy. Two fallen angels. The two fallen angels are sent here into this region while Satan himself will be here with whoever is the future Antichrist. And the two fallen angels will be serving Satan. And that is why by the third thunder, they're replaying their role very well. To bring this region subservient. So for a moment, during the third thunder, when these 10 horns destroy the 20 dogs, and the 20 dogs go woo, 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 all the way home. Here. The 10 horns rule. And rule and rule. We do not know how long is that rule. We don't know how long they rested, they lasted. But there was a vision when Pastor David saw prosperity here. So more and more prosperity here, And everyone is going to this direction of prosperity. Even here began to make peace and they began to send trade here. Yeah, at some point, these ten horns, three of the ten horns were attacked. They will win. And then counter attack. Shoom. And when they counter attack, that's when this that is in the background here become also the eight empire. By the time the king of the north, Russia or whatever his name may be called by that time, because they get back all the regions of the Soviet Union, and he rules, it is also the eight empire. He ruled twice, seven and eight. And we see here in the book of Daniel, and all this that we are seeing clearer and clearer in the first and the second thunder, in chapter 7, verse 24, the ten horns are ten kings who shall arise from this kingdom. And when they arise, there will be the third thunder that will destroy the 20 dogs, ten tigers, black tigers with gray stripes, will somehow destroy, and they will start ruling the world. Remember that by the time they arise, all this is already on fire, all this is destroyed, and a lot of the land might be changed, and they're back here ruling. Kings of the east return here, and then it tells us, and another shall rise after them. He shall be different from the first ones. So it will be another difference. And shall subdue three kings. We know what the three kings are. The three countries. Three horns. England. France. And Germany. And after he subdued them, he rules. And that's how he rules all this region. And it's sometime that's where the eighth kingdom, or eighth empire, or the fourth thunder, as the fourth thunder rules, then we say, something happened, England sang. Because England cannot exist, cannot sing before. If it sing earlier, then there's no England to attack it. Logical consequences. So that's why it's only in the fourth thunder that it sings, the world change. If England sings, that means the whole world by that time changes. And by the fourth thunder, only two great empires coexist. Russia and China. All ready for the Antichrist to come forth. By the time the Antichrist comes forth, he will be the fifth thunder. He will show himself to the Jews as a Messiah. That we will have more, but for tonight we have touched on the first, the second transition to the just touching on the third thunder, but we have given you details of the second thunder, how China will be a great marine power, naval power. We know that the biggest army is also here, 1 million. 1 million soldiers there. Land army. So it will also have become a great naval power in the second thunder. But it will eventually be defeated by the ten horns here. That's something for us to see. And we haven't seen it yet. If it's a literal interpretation, then we realize that it's definitely in front of us. I was reading this part here just now. For you, it says, when America burns, this is the second thunder that Dmitri saw, the Lord will raise China, Japan, and other nations to go against the Russians. They will beat the Russians. So
So Russia will actually be pushed back until the fourth thunder. And the big Russian push them all the way to the gates of Paris. So apparently, there could be naval war. And remember, all these wars are going on. We're not sure about the land wars. No vision is seen. But do me true, if that affects, I mean, they're not going to be sitting ducks here without attacking, I'm sure. They will be attacking through here or here back. If they see his attack, they will attack every way possible. And Dmitry saw they will beat the Russian, push them all the way to the gates of Paris. Paris is right here in France. So critical things are going to happen. In the meanwhile, while all these things are happening, you got revival here, you know, and you got some sort of revival here just before that in the building of the altar. And you got some revival here, America spreading, some revival here, and there are pockets of revival. There is also places of refuge. And we talk more about that. We already starting to have some understanding of places of refuge, and but we'll talk more of them in time to come. We're still soaking in some things about the places of refuge. Each one of them connected to Australia and New Zealand. And so in the meantime for tonight, as we see part four here, version of the seven thunders, and we will see more as we travel through phase two and phase three. How does that affect our life? How does that change our life? One thing for sure, the things that are political, we cannot do much about it. They're in God's destiny. But revival, we can do something about it. Preaching the gospel, and we know with all this happening, what's the number one thing? Preaching the gospel. But we cannot go and preach the gospel in the same way anymore. We live in a world full of unbelief. We live in a world full of atheists. We live in a world that questions by the scientific method. You cannot today as preachers bluff the world and say, no, don't worry about science, don't worry about medicine. Don't. People want to know evidence by the microscope, by the electron microscope. Our miracles and our standards of signs and wonders have to be super high. But as we begin to travel and do things in the second phase, we are already tasting supernatural things. I shared with you about being transported in the spirit. My wife Amy is now probably on the way to Australia. She was there. Pastor David is here. The best witness, he has his version of what he felt. And then I sat down with Pastor David and said, how was the transportation? You all saw the transportation that I described from place to place. This is supernatural. It just happened. What date was that we went? Hashem, inside there, there's a map in under Bible study on the transportation. We show the map. I just want to encourage you. Yes? 27 November, when we were doing a reconnaissance in Australia. And the map on the transportation is somewhere inside. It was supernatural. And so I sat down with Pastor David and said, what was it like from the angel's perspective? What did they do that caused the event to take place? It might be one of the folders in Bible study or just sitting outside there. But it's a map of Sydney to Canberra. That's the title of the map. And Sydney to Canberra map. Where we show that when we were driving towards, some of you who were going to be in the same journey, as we were driving, yes, thank you. And this is Canberra. Sydney. We normally travel from Canberra to Sydney by this route. This route is called the Federal Highway. This route here is called the Barton Highway. And we travel this route to Adelaide, which is all the way there. And so from here all the way, as we travel towards the northeast, and from Sydney, we'll be coming down southwest. 278 kilometers will be Sydney. So as we're traveling from Sydney, it's about usually 3 hours to Canberra. And our last time check was here, probably about 27 or 30 odd kilometers from Goulburn. Goulburn is the last town you see. When you see Goulburn, and this is the town of Goulburn, you will know that it's getting ready to turn here, to the left, to Canberra, because it's a fork. You go straight means you're going all the way to Adelaide. And I never miss this turning, because before this turning, is one sign here, and oh, there's a sign here that on the left will say, Yes and Gundagai, this way. On the right, there will be a sign that say, Canberra Kuma, on here. Because Kuma is the snow mountain town here, that is after Canberra. And so there will be one signboard exactly here. There will be probably one signboard here warning you. And then there will be probably another signboard that says turning coming up. And then in Goulburn, there is one flyover here, and another flyover here. The 3 flyovers. Cannot miss the flyover. And one of the flyovers is to McDonald's here, which we think that will be our toilet stop in a way. Because between here to here is 45 minutes, the last hour. So we will travel 2 hours, give you a toilet stop here, and then we continue here. And a toilet break, rather. And so the last time check was here at 11:30, when nobody was looking at time. So last time check, 11:30 here. And then after last time check, everybody was engrossed in a conversation. And as we talk and talk and talk about the 7 thunders, we're talking about how important, because remember I mentioned that right now on the planet Earth, the 30 archangels that visit us from the universe, 3 of them stay behind, probably the leaders. And one of them is standing over Israel, one of them is over Australia, one of them is over Russia right now, putting their influence. Because this Earth has become all the whole warfare is now fought on the Earth. Whatever happens on the Earth is affecting the whole universe. So they are coming to watch. And you are the soldiers in the Lord, in the kingdom of God, in the warfare. Human beings are part of that. We do our little part, they do more. And so we're talking about the 7 thunders. And somewhere about here, point A, we were taken and dropped off at point B. How did I know where point B is? Because I knew exactly the time when it happened. But my spirit caught it, my mind cannot accept it yet. Because I was looking at Pastor David, he's sitting on my left, I was driving, and I keep an eye on the road. You know how you talk with someone, sometimes you look at the corner of your eye, and you're talking to them. And then behind him would be the signs that would come up. And so as I look at him, immediately I saw the sign says, Barton Highway. 3 to 5 minutes. The distance. Barton Highway turning coming up. Usually they put that sign about 5 minutes before the turning. So the angels are very good. They drop us off at the sign. And I saw the sign. And I couldn't believe that that Barton Highway was this one. Because I say, we are here. And where is that Barton Highway here? Because I keep thinking, and where's the flyover, by the way? And so I said, maybe there's some new road that I never noticed. It's called the Barton Highway. I still keep thinking I was on this side. I couldn't believe I was on this side. But they were very accurate. They dropped me right there. I could see the sign. Barton Highway. And my inside me, something says, this is the turning. In my spirit, I could hear it. But my mind says, I am still here. And where is the turning to McDonald's? Which is supposed to be left, look over the flyover to the right. And then the reason I was looking for it here because somewhere at this point here, around 11:30, both Pastor Amy and Pastor David says, we would like a toilet break. So I said, okay, fine, the next toilet break is in Goulburn, McDonald's. So I was very careful to look for it. because I don't want any emergencies along the way here, where there are no more toilets. And so, and when I saw it, I didn't turn, because I thought I was still here. So I keep going forward, forward, and forward. And as I reached this turning here, I said, this looks familiar. But this is not here. This is the road that I used to travel 5 times to Adelaide. Say, it cannot be. I have missed the turning. At that time, I did not know the distance between here and here because I never checked the map. We never travel from here to here. This is a road we never take at all. And so I thought here to here might be a short distance. Might have missed it, maybe. That's why when I came back, I realized, wow, it's nearly 100 kilometers here. About 80 here, then you add another 30 here. So I say, wow, that's 110 kilometers. And so at this point, I said, I'm going to turn back. They say, why? He said, my wife said, why? I said, I think I passed the 30. This looks like the road to Adelaide. I know this particular junction, you know, here where it turns to various places. And Pastor David was also like confirming. He's saying, yeah, he says, something happened, like a screen change. He says, there is the sign somewhere here would have said, somewhere along here, the sign would have said, it would have said something like Gold Bank, and then there would be maybe Marulan, Goban, and then Canberra, and then Gundagai, yes, and all that. So, or something. And Canberra was like number 4 or 5, right? Fourth, right? So he is keeping a lookout for signs. So Canberra was number 4. Suddenly, Canberra disappeared from the sign. Along here, there was a sign saying Gundagai. So how did Gundagai, who is number 5, go right to the top? So he said, something is wrong. And so, since, you know, I was convinced I already passed the place, and because it's first time on the road, so he wouldn't know. And Pastor Amy says, no, the McDonald's is still ahead. Right. And so, you know, keep driving. I tell you, if I keep driving, we will end up somewhere halfway to Adelaide. And so when we turn, I say, okay, let's make the decision. I U-turn, the first U-turn I can, stop, and let the GPS decide. And it was not using GPS at that time. So I turn on the GPS, and the GPS says, Canberra, backwards here, and turn. So I say, definitely, I have to go back. And so later on, we realized that we were transported from here to here. Because we were so excited here as we were moving down this road. We turned back into Baton Highway. Because it was the only way back to Canberra now. And we're not going to go all the way in here. So we were to go here. And as we're going down, we keep talking. And then we stop somewhere. And then that's where he saw a lot of angels. And the archangel was there waiting for us. And we prayed. And then somewhere along there, we had a time check. Somewhere near a little town here called Marabetman. And our next time check at 12:30. Our last time check here is about 11:30. If we were not transported, we would be somewhere here at 12:30. We can never be here at 12:30. No way. And so even if you don't believe this story, here's the question. How do you explain that I travel 110 kilometers and end up here at 12:30? How can I miss this turning and still retain the same time? Also cannot. Natural also cannot explain. And so we realized we were transported. Lock, stock, barrel, car and all. And so those of you who like to sit in the car that got transported, as you go in, there's an offering vessel there. No, just this time it's free. To keep the car clean. No, anyway. So, I asked Pastor David, what was it from the angel's perspective? And so this is what
the angel's report, which you didn't hear from the other last sharing. So this continue sharing. And I share this to talk about the great signs and wonders that are going to come. This is only a preview. There are angels supposed to join us in great signs and wonders. We will see healing just like that. Not like you pray. Well, it's going to be just like that. Remember, transportation is a big miracle. Molecularly, we transformed and came back. He got a side effect on that. You see his hair in the front here, a bit black. Because somehow when they put him together after the transportation, they forgot to adjust the white part. So he still got black. So he came back with these black spots on his head. And you know that even if you grow your hair over 2-3 weeks, the hair would have to, even your hair from white turn black, it would be from the roots upward, right? But he got whole hair turned black. So molecular reconstruction. They did a half job on your hair. And you can see his hair, even it, you know, when you notice, he doesn't have white hair in the front, black hair. All his hair is white, normally. His hair, this part, all got black. And it's side effect on him. And other side effects of me and my wife, all that, we say, after this, we were molecularly a bit different. A bit different spiritually. And I know we understand that more. But from the angel's perspective, this was what they did. The night before we were transported, the archangel, which we call Neshama, had a talk with the archangel here. And they were discussing about how to bring us here. We were not planning to go here. We were planning to go here, which is Canberra. So, of course, there are several ways they could tell us. They could actually tell us, go here. And then we were gone there. I think they prepared a surprise for us. And so they have already planned this transportation, even when we started on that day. And at a point where all our minds were synchronized, when we were caught in the moment, and I remember when I was sharing, I talked about our conversation because I felt that was important. We were talking about the holiness of God. And we're talking about, you know, this angel here and that is seven thunder. This is so important. And it's so important to walk holy with Him, to love God. And our minds at one point, and Amy was sitting in the back seat. She was really leaning forward, listening. And I was talking with great expression. Normally I have two hands on the driving. Of course, sometimes I relax and something like that on my cruise. But it was on auto cruise, by the way. So the speed was set at 111 kilometers per hour. And I was so emphatic. I was talking about holiness. I was emphasizing with my hand as if I'm preaching. And then we all contribute. At the point when we were one and our thoughts were in God, our consciousness was at one, they took us and they put us here. From point A, point B, drop me, saw the sign. I knew the exact spot where they dropped me. We're not going there, of course, in this trip. But I could bring you there and tell you this is the exact spot because this is where the sign is. But this is how they did it because I was interested in the scientific method. How did they do it? Because we never saw, you know, when you're transported, some of you might be wondering, from here to here, we travel very fast. Within a nanosecond, as I said. Did we see like Back to the Future, that old Lorraine car, and you go and you're here. We never saw anything. But what we, from their point, what the angels did is this. They duplicated this place here. Wow. By duplicating, for them, it's also real. It is just like real, you know, like hologram. When you see Star Trek movie, you see a hologram. You could duplicate a thing. But in those movies, it is a duplicate. This is, when they duplicate, it is also in real time. So whatever happens is also there. So they duplicated
this scenery here, they took this scenery and while we were here, they put us, take this scenery and put us into that scenery. So we sort of enter into this scenery, shoom, the duplication. And as we enter into this duplication, they took us and shoom, and we became real in that place. So they took this duplicate, us into it here, and brought us there. Very fast, in a nanosecond. And that is something like what probably the rapture or travel in the spirit can be like. And you enter into a frame. It was just like a frame. You enter into a frame. Shoom. And when you enter into a frame for those picoseconds, because nanosecond and then picosecond. Picosecond is smaller than a nanosecond. So for picosecond, you enter into those. Some of you are still in milliseconds. You've fallen asleep. Anyway, so as you enter into the frame for picosecond, and you're in the new frame they just duplicated, which is also real, you're also transported there. And then they release you in real time. Whew, very fast. That was what explanation was given to Pastor David for the details of how we were transported. That, my friends, is just one of the wonders God has done. We wonder what else, what other miracles God can do. I know one thing, all through my life, when I visited Kenneth Hagin Ministry and others, I believe because I was present there, he also prophesied that there's some here who will see creative miracles. Arms grow. We're going to see miracles that we have never seen before. And when they happen, it will be just in a nanosecond. So we have great signs and wonders in front of us. And like we always say, we don't expect, you know, some of us, when you went to a prayer walk, say, another prayer walk, another prayer walk. We were caught by surprise. There are a lot of surprises what God wants to do. Not just thinking about revelation, but thinking about things that God would do, things that God may express upon our lives, even as we complete obedience to build the altars and doing what God asks us to do. And it's important. And remember what those of you who are a home base here, we will bring the prayer and blessings to you. And again, I always tell the story. When you are predestined to have, you don't have to go to all the 7 billion altars. You go to whichever one the Lord leads you. That you will still be blessed by the presence of God. But we are moving into signs and wonders. This year is a sign and wonder. I know a lot of people claim this, claim that. But I'm a scientific guy. I challenge the claim. As far as I'm concerned, the only claims I have believed are Smith Wigglesworth and John G. Lake. All that they claim, this man here, that man here, no more than I say, nonsense. And we'll challenge it. And if Pastor David looked in the spirit, he will see they're also false. But this is very real. We got 3 witnesses. And to experience that, there are other great signs and wonders that are about to come. We will see dead people raised. We will see signs and wonders like never before, which is why the multitudes of Christ will come at that time, including financial miracles that we have never seen before. So it will be powerful that we are about to see. So while the world is going into a different phase, into the 7 thunders, the body of Christ is rising in this last great revival, where even Hagin himself predicted it will be greater than even the apostles' time. And we know it definitely is. And so let's rise up into this prayer. The most important place is the right spiritual position. So whether you're physically there or not, your spiritual position must be correct. And as long as you are a person of prayer, interesting things will happen. In fact, there are more angelic activity now. And they are more involved in our life than ever before. My wife is now constantly seeing angels from the peripheral vision. that she has. And on this 3-day fast, today is the last day of the fast. And you should thank God, because I keep talking long, you'll last until 3 days. Some of you, wow, breakfast at 11. No, 1 more hour. When can I eat? 12:01. Well, you're way past that. So after that, you know, you can break a fast. But anyway, my wife, full fast, 3 days. I mean, some water she drank. And so like recently she prayed for certain things, then only yesterday night she said, someone came into the room, poked a hole in my leg, because she was praying for her leg always swell and that, and then draw out something. And then I woke up, like somebody has just touched my leg. Supernatural things. So a lot of things that God's going to do, and it will affect us personally, it will affect us in our among our loved ones, and it's not just about the church or about the ministry. You might not even be called to a ministry, but there's some blessings that you can tap upon that. And so tonight, as we have fasted, we have prayed, let's enter into prayer. And pray for Australia, pray for New Zealand, pray for all these things that God wants to do. Pray for your own life. Seek after God. I can tell you what I do and what I'm prepared to do. The 40-day fast is coming. I'm going to launch a 40-day fast, fully liquid. I'm going to be tough. Normally when I do that, I shut myself up. But I still got to do preaching, teaching, travel, you know, all those things. So, but it's tough, but I'm going to do it because it's very important. And I list down all my angels' name. I list down all the angel name of my wife, my children. I list down all the things that are to me important in this revival. Among the list, I include Shama, you know, God to strengthen. He's in my prayer list for 40 days fast. My angels, and then the angel of COG, and then the archangel there, included. Angel over Australia, included. So all these are included to strengthen them, to pray, to fast, and then the other things that the 4 things that Archangel Raphael gave to me in Mukave. So added that, because those things are still yet to come to pass. So bring it to prayer. Let us be diligent in prayer. Because just because God promised something doesn't mean it's just going to come to pass. Oh yeah, He promised it. I just relax. And you sit on the armchair, you have a little drink with a little umbrella. You know, the angel is going to do all the work. No, we have to show our zeal. We have to show our desire. And God will reach a certain point. Like, for example, I talk about this miracle of transportation. He waited till our thoughts were synchronized. So, of course, those of you, we're going to travel in 8 cars, I think I counted, to Canberra. So some of you say, hey, will the 8 convoy all be transported? Do not know how to synchronize 8 cars' thoughts. You know, even if they try, some of us might be left halfway all over. You know, so I mean they could, like, I don't say, but I'm just a bit joking that there are certain laws that they require for us to rise up to work. What happens if in a car, the 3 of us find, you know, no one will agree with you theologically 100%. You can always find a 0.01% or 1% different. What happens if in a car we choose a topic where the 3 of us can argue theologically and take sides, different sides? Then the angel will be waiting. Hey, when? No, they're still fighting over theology. When? Reach Canberra. When? Oh, give up. We happen to have a synchronous conversation, and we were brought into the synchrony of conversation. That was that. So there's a part where we have to rise to a level where they can actually work with us. Our faith level, do you believe? If you don't believe straight away, they can't work. See, I asked for 4 things at Mukabe. I believe. They haven't taken place yet, but I believe. I choose to believe. So faith is important. You choose not to believe, finish. They will never be able to work in your life anymore because they're waiting for your faith. We need to choose to believe and then put our faith and our energy and our prayers on what we believe. Perhaps you're waiting for God. God is waiting for you to rise up to the place where He could do whatever works that He wants us to. So I cannot imagine that the angels have to wait for us. And you can imagine when the angel has brought us to point B, we didn't turn. We keep going. I wonder if the angels are looking at us as we keep going. They say, our boys down there still don't get it. When will they turn back? And then we are still going. You know, I went on for about 5-10 minutes. What happened if I went on for an hour? You know, start the road to Adelaide, past Gundagai. And the angels will be saying, I think we need to transport second round. Because they're now going wrong direction. We got to put them back. Well, praise God, we actually caught it fast. So we need to work and cooperate with the angels even more. Now that we have been transported once, no more taken by surprises. The next time it happened, okay, this is it. Because it can only be that road. And so we're growing in God. We're growing to understand how they work. We're growing to understand some of these supernatural things. And by the finished third phase, you might hear us standing here talking about some things that are powerful and marvelous. And we know they're all there. Let's choose to believe. Let's choose to rise up in God. And we will reach a point where the supernatural comes. And when it comes, it comes. Praise God for that. So let's all rise together as we go to God in prayer, and then we will worship God and then pray. Father, take us into the Holy of Holies. Take us into your presence. Take us where we can live the way you live. We know, Lord, that you live in holiness all the time. It is us who choose to go out to the outer court when we have been raised up to be seated together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Teach us your holiness so that our spirit, soul, and body is soaked in your holiness so that we can be like you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name.